brought us here today. The God who brings order out of chaos has brought us here today. The God who brings simplicity out of complexity has brought us here today. The God who brings power out of pain brought us here today. The God who brings blessings out of burdens, great God Almighty, has brought us here today. He's a God that will come and see about you. He's a God that will walk with you. He's a God that will talk with you. He's a God that will rescue you. And in view of that, if you have any understanding, and of all you're getting, you should get understanding, you ought to be willing to open your mouth and praise your God, because he's worthy to be praised. You have your personal copy. I want to thank these great men for participating in the devotional, Brother Sperling for the excellent invocation, Brother Harrison Ruthers for the splendid job he continues to do in leading our hymns. I want to thank Brother Samuel White for the excellent reading of the Word of God. And want to thank Brother Jerry Harris for a beautiful prayer prayed in our behalf this morning. I want to ask you to return to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And I want to look at verse 11. I want to share a brief message this morning. Brother Wide said, it's going to be a short scripture and a long sermon. Well, I hope it'll be a short scripture and a short sermon. Amen. Y'all going to pray for me? Yeah, amen, amen. Pray for me. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 is the text. If you have it, say amen. I'm reading it from the New King James Version. I'm going to ask you to read this text after me. And such were some of you. But ye were washed. But ye were sanctified. But ye were justified. In the name of the Lord Jesus. And by the Spirit of our God. I want to thank the people of God for reading the Word of God in the house of God. I thank the Lord this morning that his Word is powerful. It's living and it's powerful. I thank God this morning that his Word is precious and priceless. I thank God this morning that his Word is noble. And I thank God this morning that his Word is effective. It never comes back to him void. Amen. Now I want to share this brief message this morning entitled, I want you to repeat this title after me. Saved. Sanctified. And satisfied. Say it again, Matthew. Saved. Sanctified. And satisfied. Those are the things I want to talk about this morning. Amen. My other brother over there, he want to say it too. He said sanctified. That's what he said. Yeah, I heard him over there. Amen. Amen. I want to talk about these key words this morning, because in the life of every believer, in the life of every blood-washed, heaven-bound, spirit-filled child of God, now there should be some key words. And the key words that really should be descriptive of your life and your mind said, I am saved, I'm being saved, and I shall be saved. And then there is the word sanctify. We're going to talk about that word, and I hope Brother Sam Wyatt talked about satisfaction this morning in a very excellent way. I'm going to spend a little time and talk about satisfaction. I think it was the big O who sang, I can't get no. He said, I tried, and I hope that ain't the case with you. Amen. You don't have to sing that song, I can't get no satisfaction. The world is growing increasingly tone deaf to the word of God. Increasingly, the world is in a state of denial and delusion. But even though men do not believe the word of God, it's not a numbers game. The veracity and the integrity of God's word does not depend upon the number of people that believe it. If not one human being believed the word of God, it would still maintain its veracity and its integrity.
All right, man.
And even though the world isn't growing increasingly tone deaf to the word of God, we still should give attention to these three words, saved. We talked about it in the Sunday school, and it's still true that everybody, we have to understand this concept, this truth, that everybody will pay a very high price for disobedience. There's a terrible price that will be paid in my life. It doesn't matter who I am or what my position is. There's a price to be paid if I'm not obedient to the word of God. So this morning I want to talk about these three things. You ought to be able to say in your own life, in your own personal experience, I am saved, I am sanctified, and I am satisfied. Now, the first word, saved, saved is the noun, saved is the verb. Once I'm saved, I move into a state of salvation. The word saved means to rescue someone from harm or danger. The word, from a theological standpoint, means the preservation of someone from ruin or destruction. And we have to understand that there are things that are threatening us. There are forces that can harm us. There are forces in this world that can destroy us. We don't have to be naive and not understand that there's not only physical danger, my dear brothers and sisters, there is spiritual danger. And spiritual danger is more perilous than physical danger. Amen. And so, salvation is taking place in a physical sense. People are being rescued. In South Carolina right now, we have treacherous conditions. Waters are rising. People's homes are being immersed and submerged in water. They are inhabitable. And people were on rooftops. They needed somebody to save them from the rising waters. South Carolina. We thank God for people who came by in boats and who came by in aircraft to save people from death, from drowning. And even though commendable efforts have been made to save people, some 19 people, as my last notification, had lost their lives. And so there is a thing of physical salvation, that people are being saved physically. If you were in danger of being harmed or injury to your person, or even perhaps the loss of life, you want somebody to come by and try to save you. Amen. That's why if you had a personal emergency, you wouldn't mind calling 911. Is that all right? And say, I got an emergency. All right. I need somebody to come by here and help me. Because I need salvation. Amen. But not only is salvation taking place in a physical sense, and whether you realize it or not, because most people are in denial. It was interesting at the luncheon on yesterday, I saw a spiritual connection between what the doctor was saying. And she was talking about that when people get cancer, the stages they go through. One of the first stages they go through is denial. I deny that I have this insidious disease. And then she said the next stage is anger. I get angry with life. I get angry with the person who told me. Sometimes, you know, there's a thing called don't kill the messenger. If the messenger brought bad news, they would kill the messenger. Yeah. Anybody bring me news like that deserves to die. And then she said that the next stage is bargaining, where we begin to bargain with a higher power. We begin to talk to God. God, help me. And Lord, help remove this burden from me. And then finally she said, there is the stage called acceptance. You know, you got to accept the fact that I need saving. And as long as you're in denial, you live in 7 days a week, you go to work, you go holler at your girl, you get blinged up, you wake up and you drink Hennessy in the morning. Hennessy, y'all all right? All right. Amen. Then you're in denial. Amen. And it's easy to be in denial.
That's right.
When it comes down to my own personal salvation. You might raise the question. We talk about, the Bible talks about salvation. It says that God has wrought a great salvation. That God of all history has invaded human history. And he has wrought a great salvation.
Yes, sir.
It was wrought through his son, Jesus. Somebody said concerning this salvation, God the Father wrought it. Jesus Christ brought it. The Holy Ghost taught it. And thank God my soul caught it.
Right.
Is that all right?
It's all right.
Well, it say that a great salvation has been wrought through Jesus. We might ask, saved from what? You're saved from ruin. You're saved from condemnation. You're saved from punishment. You're saved from death. That's what we're saved from. Might ask the next question, by what? We're saved by the finished, meritorious work of Christ on the blood-drenched slopes of Calvary. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad that Jesus of Nazareth came to earth to save Peter Amos the first.
Amen.
I want to thank the Lord.
Thank you.
And I got sense enough that when he offered me that, I said, yes, Lord. Lord offered me salvation. You don't see me turning it down. I'm saying, yes, Lord, I embrace what you offer.
All right.
Is that all right?
All right, preacher.
Then say, from what, by what, for what? I'm saved to live a new life. I'm saved to be transformed. I'm saved to live good works. I'm saved to do all the good I can, wherever I can, for as long as I can, for the most people that I can, whenever I can. I'm saved by the precious blood of Jesus. Now, if you look at this text again, brothers and sisters, verse 11, he talks about, and let's just be real, and we're not the judge, and Brother Earl, I've learned as I've matured in my preaching and in life, we don't put nobody in heaven or hell. That's not our job. We're called to preach the good news, the euangelion, the message of salvation, the gospel of Christ. But the Bible says, don't be misled. Don't be deceived. Everybody is not going to heaven. And I'm just gonna, you know, sometimes it's just good to let the Bible speak for itself, bro. Why?
Amen.
Well, you can't say, well, Maul said. Well, I'm gonna read what the Word of God says about people who will not inherit the kingdom. Can I do that? Is it all right to read from the Bible?
All right.
Listen to 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 10. Here's what God says through his inspired messenger. Do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the word says. And it says that people who are practicing, who are living in those sins talked about, will not inherit the kingdom. And if you're living in those states, I got some good news for you.
Come on, preacher.
You can be saved from that.
Amen.
Ain't that wonderful?
You
can be saved from that. Oh, ain't God good? God ain't just good because he let me wake up this morning. God is not good because he put a little money in my bank account, put some shoes on my feet, clothes on my back, food on my table, joy in my heart, song on my lips. I'm telling you, God is good this morning because he saved my soul from a burning hell. Is that all right? Look at this text again. May I read the word of God?
Yeah.
And such were some of you.
Yeah.
That's what's called the euangelion. That's the good news.
Yeah.
Such were some of you. Watch this. But you were washed. That's baptism. That's baptism. You want to know how to be saved? Here's how. You hear the word of God.
Yeah.
Romans 10, 17. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You believe the word of God. John 3, 16. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten son.
Yeah.
You repent of your sin, because Jesus said, except you repent, you will likewise perish. Acts 17:30, at the time of this ignorance, God winked at, but now he commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Then you must confess. Romans 10:9-10, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And then you're washed. Then you're washed. That's baptism. I know people deny the necessity or the essentiality of baptism, but I'm talking about what the Bible says. I ain't talking about what folks say.
That's all right, preacher.
And the Bible say, but you were washed. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Acts 2:38. Repent ye and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for unto, in order to have your sins washed away.
All right,
Brother Spurgeon, what can wash away my sins?
Nothing but the blood.
Nothing but the blood. I knew you knew it. What can make me whole again?
Yes,
nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is thy flow. Can I go old school? That makes me white as snow. There is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath the flood. Oh, can I go old school?
Now,
and sinners plunged beneath the flood lose all their guilty stains.
Yes,
now you wash. Oh, praise the name of Jehovah. All of my sins he washed away. Amen. And then he said, watch this. That same 11th verse, you were justified. Justified come from a word in the original language which means to be pronounced. It's a legal term in God's courtroom where you are pronounced not guilty. You are pronounced as if you never sinned. Brother Harris prayed this morning for the forgiveness of our sins, and I appreciate that.
Amen.
Whenever somebody prays for the forgiveness of my sin, I'm going to say amen.
Amen.
I don't know about y'all, but whenever somebody praying corporately for the forgiveness of the congregation's sin, everybody in here ought to be saying amen in some form.
Amen.
Even if you don't say it verbally in your heart, you ought to be saying thank you, Jesus, for the forgiveness. And that means it's never going to be held against you.
All right.
Anymore. It's gone forever. Amen?
Amen?
And then he says, you are sanctified. Now that brings me, that's a good segue, as Wes would say. I know Wes used that word segue. That's a good segue to my next point, Wes. Is that all right? I'm just about there, y'all. I'm going to be through at 11:30. Y'all hear me? You hear that, Lando? I know y'all going to time me from now on in. But yeah, I'm going to be through at 11:30. This brings me to my next point, sanctification. Saved, rescued from danger. And you got to have a consciousness when you say you're saved, that you've been saved from danger, destruction, and ruin. That's what's got to play in your mind. I've been saved from that.
All right.
Sanctified is the next word, and it means set apart for the purpose for which it is designed.
All right. Come on, Peter.
So now that I'm saved,
yeah,
I should live a sanctified life. A set apart life. I don't know what these preachers talking about when they convey to people it doesn't matter how you live once you say
it. Come on, preacher.
That's wrong.
Amen.
I'm to rise out of the waters of washing or baptism to walk in newness of life.
That's it, sir.
If I was fornicating before, I stopped that.
Yeah.
Hello? If I was committing adultery before, I stop it. If I was getting drunk before.
All right,
and let me tell you something. Either you get drunk inside your own house, that's a sin.
Look out.
I said if you get drunk, you need to tell God you're sorry for that. Drunkenness is a sin. Do I need the Bible to prove it? I just read it.
Yeah.
Verse 10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards will inherit the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Don't you want to inherit? So now, what do you got to do? You got to live a sanctified life. We got good news for the LGBT community.
Come on, please, tell us
that. That you can be saved. Because Paul said to the people at Corinth, such were some of you. Now you've been sanctified by the Spirit of our God. Two things you need to see. Write this down somewhere. Sanctification involves God's operation and your cooperation. I think I said something right there, Sister Johnson. That sanctification involves God's operation and your cooperation. God's operation is what God did to save me. He sent his son. His son ministered. His son lived. His son died. His son was buried. His son was resurrected. His son went back to heaven, sitting at the right hand of God, representing me. That's God's part. I couldn't do that part. But then my sanctification involves, now justification is what God does for me. Sanctification is what God does in me. Y'all got that? Justification took my sins away. I didn't earn that. That's a gift.
Yes, sir.
That's a gift, y'all. The forgiveness of sin is a gift. We don't look at it like it's a gift, do we? Anytime I stand and say, Lord, forgive me, and he forgive me, that's a gift. Thank you, Brother White. It is a precious gift. All right. So, sanctification involves my God's operation, my cooperation. Now, let me do this quickly. Sanctification has two dimensions. It's a negative dimension and a positive dimension. The negative dimension of sanctification is I stopped doing the things that were contrary to God's will. Lying, cheating, double crossing, being slothful. I put to death those things that kept me out of the will of God.
All right.
That's the negative part. The positive part of sanctification is I allow the fruits of the Spirit to be manifested in my life. Love, joy, peace, temperance, long-suffering, goodness. I allow those fruits to be manifested in my life.
Amen.
Amen? So that's the positive side. Sanctification involves things I don't do, things I do do. Amen? And then finally, here's the last one. Satisfaction. You know, a lot of people, how many can say this morning you're satisfied? Nobody? Nobody satisfied this morning? You ain't satisfied with nothing? My. Satisfied with something, ain't you? Y'all making the preacher work this morning. I'm trying to say good morning to you. Satisfaction means something that is given or done that pleases someone, that meet the conditions. Took my car, Brother Earl, got it washed up, got it detailed. And the guy say, is that all right? I say, yeah, man, I'm pleased with that. Matter of fact, I'm so pleased, I'm going to give you a little tip. And the tip is, keep doing it. I'm just being facetious. I didn't do that. I gave the brother some. And then one day I took my shoes to be shined. You know, usually when I'm going on the road, I had to take my shoes to get shined up, y'all. Because when I'm on the road, I want my shoes blinding folks in the church. Amen, amen. And the Brother White, he did such a great job. Ron, I was so satisfied, I gave the brother a tip. You know what the word tip literally means? T-I-P, a tip. It literally means to ensure promptness. That's why you give a tip. Now, I know we reverse the order. We get a tip at the end. And we say, well, it depends on how they, what kind of service I got, Sister Johnson. Depends on the kind of tip you get. But we done, we've inverted the order. Sister Juliet, it ought to be before to ensure promptness. Well, I say he can't get his money back. Amen. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says that godliness with contentment is great gain. That's satisfaction.
Amen.
And the devil is a master at creating dissatisfaction. He's a master at getting people to complain.
Amen.
And sometimes people have legitimate complaints.
Right.
We're not talking about illegitimate complaints. We're not talking about rather legitimate complaints, but illegitimate complaints.
Yeah.
Is that all right? Let me give you three examples of dissatisfaction that created problems. And sometimes, my dear brothers and sisters, you don't realize how blessed you are till you lose it. The lady one time complaining about his old raggedy car, and then the old raggedy car quit. She found out a raggedy car was better than no car.
Amen.
All right? At least you ride.
Yeah.
Amen. And sometimes people don't miss their blessing till the water runs dry.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, let me give three examples of why I say good morning to you of dissatisfaction. There was dissatisfaction in heaven.
Yeah.
Can you imagine living in the very presence of the beautiful God? The God in whom is no darkness at all. Satan or Lucifer, whatever his name was dissatisfied with his position in heaven. He desired to take over heaven. He wanted to be God. But what one of the most amazing things to me, brother, spreading is he influenced other angels to defect and follow him.
Yeah.
And he was kicked out of heaven because of dissatisfaction.
You
come to the Garden of Eden, paradise. Man and his wife living in paradise. The devil comes in and gets them dissatisfied with the living arrangement.
Yeah.
The living arrangements were every tree but one, and nothing was wrong with that arrangement. You could live in that garden as long as you observe that arrangement. The devil comes along and puts in her mind the seed of dissatisfaction. You can be like God if you eat from that tree.
Yeah.
You won't surely die. Amen. We know the sad story of the outcome. And then the final one is the nation said they were under what's called a theocracy, God rule. And Brother Spreller, they wanted a monarchy.
Yeah.
They wanted to be ruled by a king. Give us a king that we can be like the nations round. A lot of church folks ain't satisfied with Christ. They want to be like the world. Is that all right? But somebody ought to cry this morning, I'm so satisfied with Christ my Savior. Is that all right? Somebody ought to say, I found the love that pardoned. I found some stripes that healed. I found strength for my weakness, and I found grace to cover all my sins.
Yes,
Wes, somebody ought to say, I'm so satisfied with Christ, my Savior. Is that all right? Because he's bread when I'm hungry.
Yes, sir.
He's water when I'm thirsty. He's healing when I'm sick.
Yeah.
He's life when I'm dying. Oh, somebody said, if I could just do this briefly, that he is my everything. He's my A, he's Alpha and Omega. Oh, he's B, he's the bright and the morning star.
Yes.
I'm satisfied wide with Christ my Lord.
Yes, sir.
He's Christ the Lord. Sister Johnson, he's D, he's my deliverer. E, everlasting Father. F, fairest of 10,000 to my soul. G, he's God with us. H, he's the head of the church. I am that I am. J, just a closer walk with thee. K, he's the King of kings. Is that all right? J, L, he's the lily of the valley. M, he's the Messiah. N, yeah, he's a Nazarene. Wide. O, only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. P, he's the Prince of Peace. R, he's the Rose of Sharon. S, he's the Savior of the world. T, yeah, he's a true vine. U, he's an unspeakable gift. V, he's a victor over death. W, he's the wheel in the middle of the wheel. Is that all right? X, he's the extra that makes my life worth living. Is that all right? Y, yesterday, today, and forever. Z, Zion, bound when the morning comes. Somebody ought to say, I'm so satisfied with Christ, my Savior. Is that all right? Because he leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. I feel all right this morning. Yea, though I walk through the valley and the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because thou art with me.
Yeah.
And then Sister Angela, as I close, as I said good morning, he changes the figure.
Yeah.
From a good shepherd to a gracious host,
yeah,
thou preparest. Look at the figure switch.
Yeah.
Thou preparest a table before me in the what?
Presence
of my enemies.
Yeah.
That's why yesterday at that lunch in Rochelle, whenever those people who were serving came by and done something, I said, thank you.
Yeah.
I said, thank you. Is that all right?
All right.
And then I wanted a little more tea. I said, girl, you got any more tea? And I need a little more sugar, Sister Anderson. Is that her? And when I got it, I said, thank you. Surely because I was satisfied.
Yeah.
I was satisfied. That's the message. Y'all see the time? Stand on your feet, please. I told y'all. I told Wyatt that I was going to wrap this thing up in a little while. Y'all said, well, why you going to do that every Sunday? Because I don't want to. Amen. Every sermon ain't a short sermon.
Well,
is that all right? But if there's anyone here this morning under the sound of my voice that need to say, you know, I'm dissatisfied with the world and I want the Lord in my life. Oh, the Lord to come on by here and save me from death. How many want to be saved from death? And save me from ruin and destruction. He can do it. Then I want the Lord to set my life apart. Use me, Lord. Like Bill Withers said, if it feels this good being used, then keep on using me till you use me up. How many can say that to Jesus this morning? So, oh, Jesus, if it feels this good being used, Lord, then keep on using me till you use. And how many can say this morning, I'm satisfied with Christ, my Savior? If you're here, I've given you the plan of salvation. I want to give you a word of encouragement. If you need to confess, repent, confess, and pray,
we'll pray for you.
You'll be restored. And then you can sing this song, pass me not, O gentle Savior. Why don't you hear my cry? You know that why on earth dost thou art called? Oh, do not pass me by. I'm calling you, Savior. Oh. Savior, why don't you hear my cry? You know that why. May be seated. On earth dost thou art called.
Oh,
not pray.